I was reading a press release the other day that started off saying, first impressions can be misleading. That's certainly true, but I was curious to read on and find out what it was referring to. I was surprised to discover it was all about Afghanistan, and this is what it said. Compared to post-invasion Iraq, Afghanistan seems a success story, but first impressions can be misleading. The country, it read, remains on a knife edge, and the loss of momentum in its transition from the Taliban regime puts Afghanistan at grave risk of relapsing into dangerous insecurity. I decided to delve deeper and learnt that escalating attacks by the Taliban and by other armed groups are, amongst other things, shutting down schools and depriving another generation of an education. That's so sad. I remember very clearly the day in which celebrations were held a few years back, because at last Afghan girls were back at school. I called up a human rights activist who'd just come back from the country.
What we found is that the recent upsurge in armed attacks on against the government of Afghanistan, which has resulted in a lot of attacks on civilians, has really put the education system in Afghanistan under significant pressure.
Sam Zarifi is Research Director of Human Rights Watch's Asia Division.
Afghanistan is one of the poorest countries on the planet with one of the worst educational systems on the planet, and it simply can't move forward without having its children educated. And what we found over the last year is hundreds of attacks on teachers, on school facilities, on students, and unfortunately a really sharply escalating rate of attacks, so that we found more attacks in this year, in 2006 so far, halfway through the year, than all of last year. And at this point, it's almost at one attack a day on a school or a teacher.
Reading your report, you say that the girls in particular are bearing the brunt of this.
It's absolutely true. The plight of Afghan girls and women under the Taliban was one of the reasons why that movement was universally castigated and chastised. Girls were basically not allowed to go to school at all under the Taliban. And so the return of girls to school after the Taliban had been viewed as one of the major successes of the international community. And what we found is that over the last year, girls and girls' schools have been directly attacked by forces opposed to the government, which is terrible. That, you know, there are ideological reasons behind that. But also because Afghanistan is a very conservative society, a very insecure place at any rate, parents are much more likely to withdraw their girls from school or not allow them to go to school because of rising insecurity. And so girls are, in a sense, doubly punished by this upsurge in insecurity in Afghanistan.
Sam told me he had come across entire districts where attacks had closed all schools and driven out the teachers. Why such ferocity and determination against schools, I asked.
Schools present a very easy target for groups that want to terrorize the civilian population. And regardless of who is behind the attacks, and we found several different groups with different motivations, it does seem clear that they share the goal of terrorizing the local population, of destroying the rule of law and any sense of stability, and also of essentially pushing the central government out of many areas of Afghanistan, because in many places a school is the only symbol, not just the symbol, the only actual contact that many Afghans have with the central government. And so getting a school out of a village means that that village is effectively cut off from the central government and the outside world, for that matter.
So it's a push to destabilize the nation.
It is absolutely a push to destabilize the nation. By terrorizing the local population, they also point out that the central government and its international supporters are unable to support them, and they force the local Afghans to make a choice between a government that hasn't satisfied its promises to them, and local groups that at least have the benefit of being familiar to them.
You have an interesting phrase here. You say for 4 years the international community has shortchanged Afghanistan on security, and the Taliban and other armed groups are filling the vacuum. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. By comparison with recent peacekeeping efforts, post-conflict efforts in places like the Balkans or, say, East Timor, Afghanistan has received really a fraction of the economic and security assistance. For instance, in Afghanistan, until now, there's really only been about 10,000 NATO peacekeepers. There have been another 20,000 American troops, but their mandate is not the protection of the Afghan people. It's to hunt the Taliban. But even at that total number of 30,000 compares very unfavorably, for instance, with the 40,000 NATO troops that were in Kosovo after the fighting there. And you have to keep in mind that Kosovo is an area the 10th the size and population of Afghanistan. So the international community simply has failed to provide the assistance that experts inside and outside Afghanistan felt was necessary for helping the people of Afghanistan get to their feet. And as a result, the conditions in that country are unstable, and the vacuum was very easily filled by the Taliban, by regional warlord, and also by the criminal gangs that are enjoying Afghanistan's booming heroin trade.
But I exclaimed, public opinion has it that Afghanistan has been a success story after the intervention of American forces, especially seen side by side with the ongoing tragedy in Iraq.
Well, there are very significant problems in Afghanistan, and the problems are now increasingly sharply observed on the ground. And it's certainly not correct to think of it as a success story. The comparison with Iraq is interesting because, unfortunately, Afghanistan has the double whammy of having conditions now compared with conditions under the Taliban, which was, by all accounts, one of the worst governments on the face of the planet, and now with the mayhem in Iraq. But just to put things in perspective, the numbers of Afghans and, in fact, foreign peacekeepers that have been killed in Afghanistan over the last couple of months is actually rivaling that in Iraq. In terms of the operation of foreign forces, there have been more air attacks, more sorties by American forces and NATO in Afghanistan than in Iraq over the last 2 months. I think those are very sobering statistics.
Why is the media ignoring it?
Well, that's something for you to answer. I think partly it's because there is a very high degree of interest, certainly from the American government, to portray everything in Afghanistan as being fixed and as being a success. And also because actually it's just too difficult to report on conditions. And part of the reason why Human Rights Watch produced this report was to make the point that insecurity in Afghanistan isn't about how many Taliban are killed or how many roadside bombs have exploded. It's about the security of the Afghan people. It's about their ability to go to school, to have health care for their women. It's about how they experience insecurity. And over the last 4 years, as we've traveled around Afghanistan, we've consistently been told by Afghans that they feel very insecure and that it's one of their main concerns. But for Western troops and for Westerners living in Kabul, it's possible that they experience that insecurity very differently, and they haven't really bothered asking the local population in whose name ostensibly we are operating there how they're doing.
I find what Sam is saying very sobering. Here I am, thinking that reconstruction after a violent military intervention must be hard for the Afghan people. But overall, I assumed development was an ongoing process. Personally, I find the education issue particularly upsetting, and asked Sam to tell me more.
the climate of fear in Afghanistan that we saw, especially in the south and the southeast, was really unprecedented for a country that's familiar with a lot of fighting. There are new tactics that are being used now, such as suicide bombings, such as beheading of teachers, which is something that happened in the town of Balat in January in southern Afghanistan. This was a teacher, a very public figure, who was beheaded by people associated with the Taliban. And, of course, the impact on other teachers in the area was immense. We spoke with a mother in Kandahar who had her children in school, five children in school, and she was a teacher herself. And she called herself a soldier. She viewed herself as a soldier because she felt she was on the front lines of educating the next generation of Afghans. But as a result of increasing attacks on schools and as a result of night letters, these are warning letters that are posted on a school wall or on a mosque or in public places warning people about associating with the government or sending their children to school. And, of course, they're backed by very credible threats of violence. And she had to pull her children out of school because she couldn't face the consequences of having her children subjected to such threats and to such potential violence. And that's a real defeat for the people of Afghanistan and, of course, for the international community's attempts to help those people, because it shows that someone who is deeply committed to education and to improving the lot of Afghans has been forced, because of night letters, because of the violence, to pull back.
The idea of a teacher as a soldier, because she's on the dangerous front lines of educating the next generation of Afghans, is a frightening reality we cannot ignore. Please, I appeal to Sam, tell me something hopeful as well.
Despite the problems in Afghanistan, it's important to point to the international community that there is still hope. NATO, the European parts of NATO and Canada are moving into the south, replacing American forces there. And it's absolutely essential that they demonstrate a different strategy than the one used by the Americans. The Americans viewed the problem in Afghanistan solely as a military problem and offered a military solution, and that didn't work. And there is still time to regain the trust and confidence of the Afghan people by demonstrating that the international community has a long-term, sustained commitment, not just in terms of troops, but in terms of putting development projects and money on the ground where people can see it and feel it and improve their lives.